check between the Q and the E on your keyboard, and that's what the Burgers and Brats podcast is. A W. All right, everyone, welcome into another edition of your favorite podcast, Burgers and Brats, the NFL Draft. It's here, baby. One of the best days in sports throughout the year. And then something else, the NBA playoffs. Phenomenal series, guys. We're having some great games, man. And like I said, this is going to be like the best playoffs we ever see. The best playoffs we've seen. And it is living up to the hype. So we're breaking all that down and more. Make sure to follow the podcast on any platform, any streaming service, literally anywhere. Get your podcast at Burgers and Brats. And stay up to date with latest news on Twitter, Instagram, and YouTube at Burgers and Brats. So there's just so many great series to get into. We're going to start with the NBA first. But, I mean, of course, like all the sports talk shows, let's start with the Lakers and LeBron. Denver, I mean, this series is incredible. Close games, the Lakers should have won game two, but we get a Jamal Murray over Anthony Davis buzzer beater. Awesome stuff. This Lakers team, though, I mean, they are not going anywhere with Darvin Ham as their head coach, guys. Like, Darvin Ham should have been fired last year. I don't understand why this guy is still there. Darvin Ham, I think after this year, he's done coaching. I think he's done with head coaching jobs in the NBA. It's just awful to watch. No adjustments. Just, I don't know what he's doing out there. LeBron, AD, playing phenomenal this series. LeBron doing an incredible job on the defensive side of the ball. Anthony Davis playing great, playing a lot of minutes. But up 20 points in the third quarter, can't get it done. They end up losing game two and probably the series now to the Denver Nuggets. Jokic, I mean, MVP style right there. I mean, 32-12 in the first game, had a 20-20-10 game in the second game. D'Angelo Russell stepped up in the second game. Really have not seen anything out of the bench for the Los Angeles Lakers. Denver's bench hasn't been playing that well either, but definitely better than the players on the Lakers' side. This series, Denver now won 10 straight versus the Lakers, and this series has been the closest series the last 2 years that we've seen. Every game is decided by 5 points or less, a buzzer beaters, of course, and this series could be a Western Conference Finals matchup. That's how good these teams are. But just the incompetence of their head coach in the Lakers, Darvin Ham, has just torpedoed their ship. No adjustments. Anthony Davis set most of the fourth quarter. And LeBron James can't do it all, guys. He cannot do it all for the team at 39 years old. Not anymore, but he's still playing great. I think this series is pretty much wrapped up. I think the Lakers get one at home, but I think Denver ends up winning this series in, I mean, five games. I picked six in the beginning, but I think it's like five. Unless Lakers can go out, sustain that lead, and get help from their bench. And even their role players. Austin Reaves has not been playing good at all. He has not been playing well. D'Angelo Russell finally had a great game, but he kind of disappeared towards the end of the game. And when you're hot like that, shoot the rock, boy. Shoot the rock. But otherwise, I think this bag is in Denver's favor. All right, and then another great matchup that is this matchup's tied 1-1 in the West, the Mavericks and the Clippers. I mean, phenomenal basketball. I picked the Clippers in this one, thought they were going to go up 2-0. Defensive battle in the second game. Mavericks win 96-93. When's the last time you saw a team that high-powered on both sides of the ball with that much star power being held 96-93 points? Luka, I mean, incredible. 32 points the other night. Kyrie Irving, 23. I mean, they're doing this with not much help from any of their role players or bench players as well, which is really impressive. And the Clippers, I mean, all their starters besides Trey Mann, over 13 points in the game. I thought Russell played a great game. 7 of 9, though. Or it's 7 points, 9 rebounds. So he did more than just score the basket. Need to make a few more baskets, 2 and 9 on the field. But Kawhi Leonard, only 15 as well. Paul George, 22. James Harden, 22. So, yeah, I mean, these guys are going to have to score 25-plus and be efficient when they make their baskets. James Harden, 2 of 10 from 3. Kawhi Leonard, 0 of 5 from 3. So, I mean, they just make one more and they win this game, one each. And that's not much to ask for. But scoring 93 points against against a Dallas team that's not great defensively, not good. Should be up 2-0 in this series. Kawhi Leonard's back, though, so I do like that for the Clippers. Well, maybe not. Clippers lost with Kawhi. Maybe they destroyed the Mavericks without Kawhi, so maybe they should put Kawhi on the bench. Obviously, just kidding. But got to make more shots. First game back in like 10 games, so a little rust there. Next game is going to be really good, which we get on Friday at 7 p.m. Eastern. Giving the upper hand to the Clippers, even though the series heads back to Dallas, and Dallas is a 4.5-point favorite in this next game. But I like the Clippers. Got too much star power for me, and I mean, if Kyrie or Luka, one of them has a bad night, I'm not gonna get much help from your other player. So still give me the Clips in this one. I think it goes 7, honestly. And then in the West, this series is fun as well. I told y'all Timberwolves are going to win this series, and they're up 2-0 on the Suns. Karl Anthony Towns going back and forth with Kevin Durant. That was fun to watch. He had 33 points in the first-round matchup and had 15, 5, and 8 in the second game. Only 3 of 12, though, from the field, so didn't like that. And they still end up winning by double digits, so it's going to be scary when he's on fire. Jaden McDaniels, though, I mean, star player, 10 of 17, 25 points. Conley, Towns, both with decent numbers there. So I just like Minnesota's depth and their team. And like I said, this Phoenix team isn't going to really work out with Beal, KD, and Booker. Booker had 20, Kevin Durant only 18 points, Bradley Beal 14, he was 6 of 17, so I mean, when it comes down to the playoffs, these guys just kind of disappear, and we're seeing that with Booker and Beal. Like, Eric Gordon at 15, Nurkic 10 and 14, Grayson Allen 3 points, 1 shot. I think he did get injured in this game, but still, you're going to have to put up more shots than that. In the first game, the second game, game two, Beal, Kevin Durant, and Devin Booker went a combined of 18 and 42 from the field. 18 of 42 and 1 of 9 from the 3-point combined. And a minus of 56 combined. It's not going to win any games against a really talented Minnesota team, so definitely have to step it up. Two of them have to get super hot and just stop dribbling the ball around. Make baskets. Make baskets, guys. Like, that's what you put on this team to do. And I am taking much joy, though, in this Phoenix team losing these games. So, I'm not going to be complaining over here. Next game, Saturday, 9:30 p.m. Eastern. Heading back to Phoenix. Don't really think much home court advantage for the Suns. Give me Minnesota still in the series. I think they can wrap this up in like 6 now, maybe 5. They go up 3-0. It's over. 2-1. Could make a series, but I think the Timberwolves still have this one in the bag. All right, last game in the Western Conference. Oklahoma City versus New Orleans Pelicans. What a phenomenal first game that was. Came down to a CJ McCollum, almost a buzzer beater there for the win for the 8-seed over 1-seed, but Thunder hold on, get the win. And Oklahoma City, you didn't look great in the first game. It was your first game, most of these guys' first game in the playoffs. I get the jitters, I get the antsiness and wanting to be perfect in this game. But like I said before this playoff started, you can't change anything that you've been doing all year. You got to this point. You're the number one seed, number one team for a reason. You cannot change, go against the identity of your team. And they kind of did that. I mean, I knew it would be a little tough when this Oklahoma City team has to face a well-rounded team with a bunch of star players that put the ball in the basket. Because Shea is the only player that is averaging over 19 points a game. The only one. And he's averaging over 30. So if Shea has an off night, you double team Shea, force these other young guys to put the ball in the basket. I mean, it could go wrong. And I think you will see that in this next round. And if they make it to the Western Conference Finals, I don't think they do. But you're going to see that for this young team. They're only going to grow and get better. I did not like the way that first game looked. They look much better in the second game, up by double digits at halftime. So I won't know the end result of that one probably. But I think the Thunder end up winning game two. I think Pelicans probably get one game in this series at home. But I think the Thunder are pretty much going to handle business here. And just don't go away. Don't go against your identity. And keep doing what you're doing. Trying, these young players are getting experience, so it only helps them. I got OKC winning, though, winning the rest of the series. They play again Saturday at 2:30 p.m. on TNT. All right, let's head over to the Eastern Conference, where, I mean, just a shocker, really a shocker. Boston comes out, kills Miami in game one, kills them. Game two, man. Miami comes out and beats the Celtics as 14.5-point underdogs. Incredible. Incredible stuff. I mean, Eric Spoelstra has got to be the best coach in the NBA. He can take a group of people from your Twitter timeline and make them win a playoff game. That's how crazy this dude is. I mean, Heat getting a win, tying up the series 1-1 against Boston. This series going back to Miami, and I mean, anything can happen now. You got that win, and now you're saying, all right, we can beat these guys. We can beat these guys in a playoff series. What is with the Celtics just always collapsing in the playoffs? I mean, Jaylen Brown had 33 points. Tyler Hero had 24 and 14. Bam had 10 rebounds. But, I mean, this Boston team, Tatum even had 28 points, but yet you really didn't have, you only had one other player in double digits, and that was Derek White. Everyone else under 9 points or under. So you only played three bench players. That's no depth. Your guys are tired. They're not going to make shots. I mean, Jaylen Brown was 13 of 23. Drew Holiday, 4 of 12. 1 of 4 from 3. And Tatum was even 10 for 20. So 50%, but still 2 for 6 on the 3. Miami, they've drafted well. They've a little more depth on the bench, and I mean, all of their starters were in double digits. Jovic was the least leading scorer at 11 points. Hawkes had 14, Caleb Martin had 21, Bam had 21, Tyler Hero had 24, and all efficient shooting. It was all efficient, and 23 three-pointers made, a playoff franchise record for the Miami Heat. So I expect the Heat to make this a series. I kind of thought, after seeing that first performance, I'm like, all right, this is the year the Celtics are actually going to win this thing and go far. And I mean, they had a pretty easy schedule to make it to the Eastern Conference Finals, and I don't know about that anymore. I don't know. I mean, Celtics are going in as 8-point favorites into Miami on Saturday, 5 p.m. on TNT, but the series is not over, obviously. It's 1-1. Anything can happen. The series can go 7 again, just like it did in the Eastern Conference Finals. I still like the Celtics in this one. But, man, if you go up 2-0, 2-1 if you're the Heat, it might be in the bag. All right, Celtics are going to have to play like, they're going to have to play chips on the shoulder, frightened. They're going to have to play perfect. They're going to have to think they have to play perfect. And, ooh, it could turn bad for the Celtics. But I still think the Celts get it done. Give me 6 games now for the Celts. All right, and then another great series that we're watching, New York versus Philadelphia 76ers. This game, basically a buzzer beater the other night. Knicks and Philly tied at 1-1. Embiid is back in this one, so that's a good sign. Or not 1-1, sorry. Knicks are up 2-0 in this series. Embiid went out game one, ended up losing, and then back for game two, ended up blowing I think 6 points in about 15 seconds, ended up losing that game. So the Knicks up 2-0 against the 76ers. Next game on Sunday. So, or sorry, not Sunday, Friday. So, this, or Thursday, sorry, geez. App's messing up, but Thursday, 6:30 p.m. TNT, and the series has been fun to watch. 76ers, 4.5-point favorites in this one, and Jalen Brunson playing really good basketball, and DiVincenzo, Jalen Brunson and this New York team, they know they can win this game, this series. DiVincenzo playing phenomenal basketball, Bogdanovic, Hart, Josh Hart's been playing really good, and the 76ers, if Embiid's not being efficient and you're not getting anything from your bench, which you haven't, really, I mean, Buddy Hield, Batum, didn't get much there, at least in the first game, or Paul Reed, and then even on your starting guys, Oubre Jr., 4 points, Kyle Lowry, 8 points, you had Tyrese Maxey, really good, 35, 9, and 10, and that's your shining star right there besides Embiid. If Maxey's not getting 20 points, you're probably going to lose in a double-digit blowout. So, Maxey and Embiid have to be on fire, honestly, if they want to stay in this series. At home, Philadelphia is a hard place to win if you're a road team. And, I mean, New York, if you can go score 8 points in 36 seconds again, I mean, hey, just wait till the end. And this series is really fun. I think it's the Knicks. I picked the Knicks. No, I think I picked the 76ers in this one. So, tough. This could be our first playoff series loss. But, fun series nonetheless. And then, Milwaukee versus Indiana. This series is tied at 1-1. Dame Lillard went off for 35 in the first half in the game one. Had 0 points in the second half, but they didn't need him. They won pretty handily. Game two, phenomenal. Siakam, 37 points, 11 rebounds. Halliburton, 12 assists. These guys are balling. Miles Turner, 22 points. Halliburton only had 12 points in that second game, so didn't need to do much. Did not need to do. They have a bunch of help on the bench side, so other players can get some rest and not lose a big lead. Obi Toppin played really good coming off the bench with 9 and 8. Milwaukee, on the other hand, second game, Dame Lillard had 34. Wasn't enough. Got beat by 17. Brooke Lopez, 22. Middleton, 15. Bobby Portis, 14. Patrick Beverley, 4 points. I mean, Milwaukee has 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 men coming off the bench. They have a 12-man rotation. That's unheard of in the NBA. They did nothing for him. Pat Connaughton, 5 points. Malik Beasley, 4 points. Jay Crowder, 2 points. Andre Jackson, 2 points. Chris Livingston, 0 points. So there was no help off the bench for Milwaukee. You're that deep, and you have no help. You're not going to play. You're not going to be in games. I mean, starters need some break. You can't go in and score 4 points and be efficient. You're not going to win games, at least get some stops on defense. So Dame Lillard may have to drop 70 on the next game. And next game on Friday, 4:30 p.m. ESPN. I picked the Bucks in this one. I still like the Bucks. Pacers are favored by 5 in this next game. Giannis needs to come back ASAP for the Bucks. All right, then finally, last game. Eastern Conference, a game that no one is talking about and apparently nobody cares about. Cleveland at the, or Cleveland versus Orlando. This was kind of one of my upset ones for the year, for the playoffs. I thought the Magic would come in and beat the Cleveland Cavaliers. Magic is just way too young, and you can't go against Mitchell. I mean, you can't go against Donovan Mitchell. You really can't. Orlando, Paolo Banchero played good his first game. I mean, 24-7-5. He had 21 that next game, only 3-3. Wagner at 18. Gary Harris, 14. So, not much coming out of the starting lineup. Isaac, Jonathan Isaac, 3 points, 1 of 7. Jeez. And all of his shots were 3-pointers, 1 of 7. Get the bum out of here. Wagner, 12 points, and no help from the bench. Cole Anthony, 0 points, 0 of 4. So, no help from the Magic. Young team. Donovan Mitchell, man, I mean, I said he need like 30 in this series if they wanted a chance, and I mean, he's putting up 30 pretty much every game. Only at 23 this last game, but 30 in that first game. Darius Garland, 15, and Mobley, 17, Jared Allen, 16, and then only three players off the bench. They only have an 8-man rotation, but getting some points, and they look pretty good. Really good defensively. Orlando, only 83 points in the first playoff game, and then 86 points in the second game. Really good defense side of the ball for Cleveland. Underestimated their defense ability. Thought it'd be kind of the opposite. The Magic could stop them on defense, but Cleveland, just better role players. And Donovan Mitchell, man, game changer. Game changer. All right, that's my NBA playoffs, kind of what's been going on there. Before we talk NFL draft, let's go to On This Day in History, sponsored by Hefner Eye Care. Throwing it back on this one, 1184 BC. Throwing it back for sure. The Greeks enter Troy using the Trojan horse. 1950, Chuck Cooper is the first African American drafted into the NBA by the Boston Celtics. 1986, the world's worst nuclear disaster, Chernobyl explodes. And then 1956, Rocky Marciano retires from boxing. A lot of birthdays to get to on this day. Happy birthday, Ella Fitzgerald, Al Pacino, Adam Silver, Casey Kasem, Shirley Temple, John Cena, Will Shakespeare, Oppenheimer, and me on Saturday. So a lot of birthdays. A lot of great legendary birthdays this weekend. So that's On This Day in History, sponsored by Hefner Eye Care. All right, before we talk NFL draft, kind of some of the other news going on in the sports world. The RBC Heritage was last week pushed to a Monday finish. Scottie Scheffler, man, the best in the world by far. This man has a chance to do what no one's done since this Tiger and just be this dominant. Looks really, really good. Really would have been a phenomenal matchup or phenomenal ending if just Scottie wasn't there. He won 19 under. We had 4 tied at 15 under and 3 tied at 14 under through Sunday. But Scottie was 5 strokes ahead of that and at 20 under then. So it would have been a great ending, great finish. But Scottie just had it in the bag. And man, I'd have to play Harbor Town, Hilton Head, South Carolina. That is a beautiful course. It looks awesome. I love to play it. End on 18 with the Lighthouse. Some NBA news. The awards finalists: MVP Nikola Jokic, Luka Doncic, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. My MVP is still Nikola Jokic. Shai in second, Luka in third. I think Shai might have a chance at getting first. I think a lot of people voted Shai, so we'll see. It's going to be a close one in this MVP race. Rookie of the Year, we got Wembanyama, Brandon Miller, and Chet Holmgren. I think it is Wembanyama. Chet, definitely second. If he would have played last year, he probably would have won it. But Wembanyama, man, just too dominant and has already broken records. So giving it to Wemby. Defense Player of the Year, we got Wembanyama, Chet Holmgren, and Bam Adebayo. It might be Wemby. I think Wemby could win this one as well. Otherwise, probably Bam, but crazy. Crazy Wemby and Chet are in these categories, so great futures ahead for those two. Reggie Miller gets his Heisman back, or Reggie Bush gets his Heisman back, officially awarded his Heisman back after 15 years of not having it. So I get it, but all this NIL stuff, these players are getting paid now, but they weren't back then. So why reward the guy if he wasn't? The times are different, yeah, but you couldn't do it back then. It doesn't mean you can earn your stuff back like that. So earn your Heisman back. So, I don't know. Cool seeing Reggie get his Heisman back, but understandable if he didn't, because that was then, this is now. So, it's a different world. In the MLB, Ohtani broke Hideki Matsui's record for most homers hit by a Japanese-born player in the MLB, hitting his 176th. Braves and Brewers had the best record in the MLB at 14-6. And then Juan Soto, man, on fire for the New York Yankees, batting 354, 6 home runs, and 20-plus RBI. So that's some other sports news going on around the sports world. All right, let's go into this NFL draft. And this is going to be one of the better drafts we've seen. Honestly, this draft is going to be really good. Super deep on the quarterback side, wide receiver side, and even when we get to the running backs, the defensive corners, the edges, offense tackles, everything is going to be everything's going to be filled really good, because these are some really good young talent, and it's going to be a really fun, probably not much shocking draft. I think we know where most of these quarterbacks are going to go. But it's going to be fun to watch these guys end up in their new homes. Obvious number one pick has to be Caleb Williams. I think we all know that. And it's kind of just who's after that. And I think for me, my top quarterbacks, it's got to be Caleb at one. Obviously, Caleb at one for me. I've got Jaden Daniels at two. Heisman winner, I think he can do it with his arms or his legs. And then for me, I got Michael Penix, man. I really like this Michael Penix guy. He took Washington to the national championship game, and he's done some really good stuff. I know he's had two ACL injuries. He's bounced back from them. Like I said, just took a team, third undefeated season, to a national championship. He's done really good. And I really like him as a person. Number four, I got Bo Nix. He's pretty old up there, but I mean, the experience and the education on that. Bo Nix at four for me. And then five, I got Drake May. I kind of underperformed from my expectations, at least. Wasn't on the best team. Still had great stats wise, but just wasn't able to carry this North Carolina team to all the bigger expectations that were expected of them. Number six, man, notice how I haven't mentioned a guy who's projected to go in the top 10, maybe top five, J.J. McCarthy. I'm just not sold on J.J. McCarthy. Yeah, the team went to the national championship game, or he won a national championship with Michigan. He was there for a couple years. He's great composure, but I just don't know. I just don't see J.J. McCarthy fitting into an NFL system. Hey, maybe he goes to the Chargers and with Jim Harbaugh on. Maybe they can get it done, but I just don't see J.J. Being a top pick for me. And then you also have Spencer Rattler and Michael Pratt in this draft. Yates and Kuiper both have Nix and Penix going late second round, and I really do think both these guys have the ability to go in the first round, and we'll see how many teams need quarterbacks. That's kind of the big issue. So you draft what you need first, and then they're probably there, but I think these guys should be taking over a couple of the other ones. The best overall player, I think that could be Marvin Harrison Jr. I think this wide receiver in this group is some of the best we've seen besides, what was it, 2018 or 2019? I think 2019, 2020, with JJ, CD, and some Judy. So this is another great wide receiving core. But Marvin Harrison Jr., I think he's probably fourth to the Cardinals, and he is probably the best overall player. You can't pick against Marvin Harrison Jr. if you already have a quarterback. You got to take Jr. That's just my opinion. I think he will go fourth, at least for the first team that doesn't need a quarterback, and the Cardinals, I think he goes there. I mean, this wide receiver class, you got Marvin Harrison Jr., Odunze, which I think he's going to be incredible as well, Nabbers, awesome. Bowers, Brock Bowers, a tight end. He's supposed to be a top 10 pick. Thomas Jr., Xavier Worthy, Leggett, Keon Coleman, and then one or two more that are just like projected in the first round. So it is super deep, and it's going to be really good. And if you're the Bears, I mean, yeah, the number one, number nine pick, you take Caleb Williams, and then do you take a wide receiver, or do you take a offensive tackle? I don't know. You might take Odunze or Nabbers if they're there. I think you got to take one of those guys over an offensive tackle. Give Caleb like the guy to throw it to. So that's just my opinion, but it's going to be a fun draft once we get past these first three, I think, solid locks of number one being Caleb, number two being Jaden Daniels to the Commanders, and number three being Drake May to the Patriots, and number four being Marvis Harrison Jr. So I think those four are set in stone. Those four are not going to change at all. Those are the top four picks. Now, Denver. My Denver Broncos. Why did we trade for Zach Wilson? I don't get it. I don't know. Are we now not drafting a quarterback? I mean, that's fine by me. I'll take Zach Wilson over J.J. McCarthy. Okay? I'll do that. He's got the experience. Still young. It doesn't make sense. Unless we're like, all right, hey, we don't want a quarterback. But I think we have to take one of these quarterbacks. Unless you have Dallas Turner there. Or, I mean, maybe a Byron Murphy on the defense side. Or then Kenyon Mitchell. Those are the three guys I would take. Other than a quarterback. Please don't take Brock Bowers. Please do not take a tight end. That never works. It never works taking a tight end. We only have six draft picks, $24 million over the cap. So maybe take a quarterback now. You don't have to sign up for very much. And we need quarterback, we need D-line, and we need edge. So I just gave you kind of our picks, who I would take for Denver. But if you have Penix or Nix, and they have not been taken at 12, take one of them. I don't care. I think both can be really good in this league. The way Michael Penix throws that football, he slings that rock. Man, it's mesmerizing. It's a beautiful thing to see. I really like Michael Penix. I think he's really good. He can run the football also. He's a big body, big build. I would not be upset taking Michael Penix at number 12 for my Denver Broncos. But man, I don't know. I don't know what we're doing trading for Zach Wilson. Quarterback room wasn't bad, or it wasn't good, but if you're not going to take a quarterback, I just don't want to get it if you're not going to take a quarterback. So, Vikings, kind of the main thing for them, we're hearing a lot of the Vikings or the Giants trading up and taking J.J. McCarthy, and that it could be one of these teams. The Vikings, is that what J.J. Jefferson wants? Does he want J.J.? Does J.J. want J.J.? I wouldn't see why he would. I would take a different quarterback or maybe make a trade for a quarterback. Maybe trade for like a Justin Herbert or something. Trade for a kind of proven quarterback that has been in the league for a little bit and you know can play and more than likely get you at least to a wild card spot. But it's going to be interesting to see. I mean, once we get past these four picks, guys, all heck is going to break loose. One through three QBs, four wide receiver, and then it's going to be a high offensive draft. I mean, I think the record is 19 offensive players taken in the first round. I think we can get to that. I really do think we can get to that this year. Maybe, probably more. I think that is going to be close to breaking the all-time record. It's going to be interesting to see what the Chargers do with this five spot. You do need a wide receiver, and I would take Nabbers or Odunze. I would definitely build the offense because you lost two wide receivers, Keenan Allen, and you get a new head coach. He likes offense and defense, but definitely needs someone for Herbert to throw the rock to, and I think you got to go wide receiver. Giants, Vikings, you need quarterbacks. You only have to pay Daniel Jones one more year when if you're the Giants. So get a quarterback, have him learn a little bit under Danny Dimes, and then make him the starter for 2025. I think that's the route you have to go for the Giants. And, man, it would be funny if they draft J.J. McCarthy, another white boy, who were like, that was a reach to take up and grab. That was a reach. So we'll see what happens. But Giants and Vikings, I think, two teams to look out for trading up and getting into these kind of 5-6 picks and taking a quarterback. Otherwise, any one of these teams can really take anyone. I mean, Pittsburgh, you're probably having to go wide receiver, get someone for Fields and Wilson. Dallas, you need offensive line help, so Tyler Guyton is a great pick, I think, for you if he's not going earlier, which he could be. Green Bay, tackle, wide receiver, corner, you need a lot there. Tampa Bay, defense. Get some defense, guys. Got to get some defense help out. And then Cardinals, you need O-line and defense. You need that. Detroit, you need defense. You need defense. And otherwise, you're a solid team. Detroit could definitely make some news next year. Maybe later on take a quarterback, learn under Jared Goff, but that could be a thing. And then San Francisco, maybe some wide receiver help. Brandon Ayuk still hasn't signed a contract. He could be on the move. Get some wide receiver in case he's not there available, or you can get some offensive line help. Otherwise, that defense also is getting older, so some linebacker help. And then the defending champs, Kansas City Chiefs. I think you got to go wide receiver. Got to go wide receiver O line. That's what you got to do. Yeah. Go back to back to back. Offense. Get some offense. Even though you did just bring in Hollywood Brown, so that's huge. That is a huge get. Colts, defense, or tight end, wide receiver, maybe. Something like that. Otherwise, I mean, these teams, Miami, I mean, offense tackle or somewhere in the defense, D-line, linebacker. Eagles, defense, man. Get some defense. Or, obviously, a center to repair that offensive line that you lost with Jason Kelce. So, it's going to be a fun draft. Don't really know who's going to go where. I think Brock Bowers should not be a top 10 pick. He's projecting the top 10 to the Jets. Man, it just never works out for tight ends going this high. It really doesn't. And I mean, Brock Bowers is a really good player. But I just would not take a tight end in the first round, or in the top 10 of the first round. I just can't do that. Offense, so deep, man. There's not even any running backs in this first round. And there should be Blake Corum, man. I mean, there definitely could be. And this is going to be an awesome draft to watch. Defense, I mean, Dallas Turner, Byron Murphy, Latu, Quinion Mitchell, defense is going to be incredible as well. Like, you're not going to see as much in the first round as you are Jared Verse, Terrion Arnold. You're not going to see as much as you should or could. It's just so heavily offensive, but defense is still there, and you're going to see some really good players on both sides of the ball. All right, that's my NFL draft. We'll be back next week breaking down the draft and more. Going to be fun watching that. Thursday through Saturday on ESPN. So get ready for the NFL draft. All right, moving into who I'm sharing my burger and brat with. Well, there's a new high-tech way of healing broken bones that could take less time and make your bones over 3 times stronger. Japanese scientists have already had this technique. It's been successful on lab rats. The irritated areas, 3.5 times stronger than the non-irritated areas. I mean, these scientists, it's already been successful doing it on rats. I know, rats, not humans yet. It's been on rats, so you know what the next step is from rats? Humans. Osaka Metro University aimed to shorten recovery times and speed up bone health by using this non-thermal atmospheric pressure plasma. They had 24 animals with normal fractures and 20 animals with non-union fractures. The irradiation didn't offer the normal technique and advantages, but boosted healing and recovery time of those with non-union fractures. So working in animals and soon to be working on humans near you. So 3 times stronger bones coming off surgeries and all that, broken bones. So definitely gonna, I know some of y'all with some broken bones, you would love to have that or would have loved to have that. So stay tuned for that coming out hopefully soon out in Japan. All right, everyone, thank y'all for listening. Make sure to follow the podcast on any platform, any streaming service, literally anywhere. Get the podcast at Burgers and Brats. And tips it with links to it on Twitter, Instagram, and YouTube at Burgers and Brats. Thank y'all for listening. Take care. Stay safe. Enjoy the NFL.